Well, hello, everybody. It's DVD Radio here. This is Adam Dragon at 3:21 in the morning on September 5th. I woke up at 3 in the morning, right around 3, out of a sound sleep. The first thing that came to mind was coming up here and doing this. So I might be able to say not very many people listened, although, hey, we actually got a couple listens last time, for the first time in a while. But, you know, here I am, dragged myself here, because I feel compelled. Now, I want to talk about a couple of things that I realize in the middle of the night. You know, when it's sort of an interesting time to wake up, because I wake up and my mind instantly goes to the fight. People might say, well, what fight are you talking about? But my mind instantly went to the fight, and that I actually had a little bit of time to put my to contribute, you know, to do something, to fight. I had a little bit of time when nobody was going to bother me. I find it valuable. But when thinking about it, you know, trying to find a way to jump in the middle of the night into the big discussion out there, a lot of things came to mind. But one thing that struck me was, many things struck me. I now that I have the opportunity, I don't want to just go on and on about this, that, or the other, because that's what I tend to do. You know, I'm the one learning, because I'm supposed to preach one day, I believe. So, I've learned things by listening. I pick up on things. Some of it's direct feedback to me about my recordings or speeches or whatever. And another, you know, besides direct feedback, is I just pick up on what God leads me to hear. So, he's given me several big pointers on, you know, this type of exercise, without criticism, as a form of ability to improve. God's like that, you know. He's not gonna beat on me for doing the work that I've been asked to do, because, like, honestly, I don't know how else to put it, but I don't get anything out of this other than the real connection with God, you know, like, that's what people long for. And it's like, well, what's that going to be like? Like, you want to go to heaven? Well, unfortunately, putting my neck out there and getting attacked all the time is like my version, I guess, of coming close to heaven. I'm here sitting in my car. Dead battery in the truck. Something's going on with the lights. I cannot stand automatic lights of any kind. I absolutely can't stand them. Just like, pardon me. Excuse me. Just like I can't stand those loud noises when you hold the door open or don't have your seatbelt on or something. Anything that's like alerts and alarms and automatic stuff on my car. I don't mind switches turning things on, but I don't want things to just start coming on. So anyway, I've been having troubles with this. I don't know, I'm gonna have to get the manual out, but somehow different lights keep staying on. And so we had the lights, I had the battery die earlier. I went to take my daughter somewhere and we never wound up going. I was sad. I did get the battery charged, and then I had it running, and then now the battery's dead again, because I came out here at 3 in the morning and noticed some dash lights on, and now it doesn't work. So, I have now what do I need power for? Well, I wanted to close the window, and so I'm in my other car, which may be moldy or something, because the window on this one has been stuck open just a tiny bit. I don't think I'm coughing from mold. I think I'm coughing because I woke up at 3 and I'm a little thirsty, I just kind of like, I kind of zombied up and outside without waking anybody up. So anyway, with all that said, I mean, what can be done in the middle of the night when no one listens? And that's the mystery, but I don't ever have a problem with that. You know, the second I second guess myself is when I start to sit back down. And a lot of people would say, well, I mean, I can say, you know, there is occasion to sit down again. And that's what I've needed to do. I've needed to sit down when it's time and stand up when it's time. And what I have tended to do myself in the past is just act like a bull, slashing and slashing and slashing forward. You know, not caring what the repercussions were to myself. As long as I didn't lose my essentials, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But the problem with that is it doesn't necessarily work, because you win something and you lose something. You win one thing and you lose another. When done properly, you lose the world and you win the kingdom. But it's not quite that simple. It's not quite that simple. If you just lost the world, you would still lose people. And that's the weird part about this whole enterprise is, I mean, being a defender of the faith is one thing, but we are penetrating as well with the gospel. We're trying to make converts, and not just converts, because that's like, I mean, that's important, but it's almost a scorecard business, a convert thing. I don't think I'm going to be, I do think there's something going on in this car, because I'm getting distracted. Let me open that window, that door a little. All right. So anyway, a little fresh air in here. It's not just the converts, you know, and it's been a lot of things. It's been discovering the work of a saint is like you're discovering so many different things. And if you can't apply yourself to all of them, you won't really effectively be in the real kingdom, I don't think. I'm serious. I'm not. My mission field was to, I mean, what it, my mission field or what I've, my mission is basically God's heart. I don't know what else to say. You take God and you put him up to all the subjects of the world that come up and you ask him his opinion, and he's going to have one. And that's the interesting part about praying, worshiping, and knowing God is like you can reapply everything. It's like science. Like I've got the new tool now. I don't know. It's almost like getting some kind of spectrometer. And you've gone through your specimens and your samples for years, and you've seen the same thing through your microscope. But you still study it, but it's just not quite as exciting. Now you get the spectrometer that can like tell you all kinds of information, things you thought you knew, things you might have been guessing about. And now you take all your specimens and you start looking at them one at a time all over again. And that's what it's been like for me in life to just have God now. And other people have like checked out, and then they make you feel like a piece of, you know, like, you know, I want to swear right now. They make you feel like really bad for actually caring, because you're not playing romper room, show and tell my family only. You're telling people they need to wake up or they're going to die in their sins and they're going to go to hell. That is not the message people are looking for that haven't received it yet. The people that haven't received that message yet, who are 45, 55, 65, 75 years old, you know, these people do not want to be bothered anymore. And they actually have, a lot of them have found this to be, because they're so far gone or so far along, that they, yeah, there's definitely a moldy smell in here. They're so far, you know, I'm going to get out of here in a second. They're so far gone that they just have sealed themselves off. And a lot of them believe
that beliefs like you have are what the problem is with the world. That's their assessment at this point. Oh man, this car has a smell of it just smells moldy, so I'm just, get out of this car. Go back to my other car. Wow. Anyway, here we go. Get back in the truck. Just the window's open. It's actually turning into fall. I hate to say it, but I'm chilly. And I don't like being chilly. I work outside year-round, but I never feel chilly because I'm either working or I'm well-dressed, you know? But still, I mean, it's not going to stop me here because I've got to finish this. I'm just so angry because not only is that a situation and other people don't understand nor care, you've got no backup. Like the church that I have, like all of them, almost, I have like one or two friends who have the guts to stand by me, but they are all so cowardly. It's unbelievable. I mean, even to enter a discussion to correct and reprove publicly, nobody has the guts to break the Facebook line except one or two people. You know, and those people, you've got to know, they're probably dealing with lies all around them too. Because that's what I'm dealing with, lies all around me. And I've been holding back the truth to save people that messed up, man. They messed up bad. And I just came out of a church that's like, should be going down in flames as we speak. I don't understand what's going on over there. It's like a cult, man. I'm serious. No one listens to me. These guys want to listen to me? Go ahead. Who knows where I go to church? None of these people that listen to me or don't listen to me know where I go to church. So what does it matter if I say the church should be going down in flames? And I cannot believe that I could have stayed so long in a corrupted, filthy thing like that. The fruit. See, you stay and you pray and you think, well, I'm going to influence. I'm going to say something. But you get to a point where, I mean, I was disagreeing with just about everything. And I don't know what. It didn't bother me any to disagree with everything going on in the church. I figured that's just, I'll just keep taking my stand. And it actually fueled my vision because I could see clearly mistakes. Mistakes that are repeated because these people have a codependency. You can codependently mess up now. A church can with interfacing with all of Christianity that they want to, that they find. I've discovered that that's possible. And so you know that you're supposed to have this garbage church that's out there at the end times. It's just total junk. And everybody's supposed to get out of that and make sure you don't get hooked up with it because it's obviously mating season and it wants to get hooked up with the world and just forget about its problems. I don't know what the deal is, but this is a yucky, gross thing. And everybody that handles it and moves it along then washes their hands of it as they figure things out. It's weird. I can't describe it. There's many aspects to this form of church. But in the church I went to, I mean, the pastor himself moved out of his home. And meanwhile, I didn't know anything about this. I had been calling him and others out about something I was calling the Jezebel spirit and other things that I could just tell was all over the place. And it was making me angry because it was affecting my life. It was affecting my life. It was affecting my life. And they wouldn't receive me. And then it turns out, he moved out of the house, moved in with, I won't say what, when, where, or how, but a woman, okay, from the congregation, okay, can I just say that? And they kept going to church together and nobody knew this. Somehow even his wife didn't know. I don't know. I guess they separated because they were angry with each other and little did she know that he had started a new life. And people inside the church, other people did know. And it was like, are you kidding me? And then I found out there were like leaders, like national or whatever people. I mean, I'm talking, this is like how sick this is, actually trying to help the pastor move in and move on with his life with the new woman. Like nothing ever happened. And like the guy's married. My kids are going to this church. And so, guess what? The whole affair ends. But guess what happens? Nothing. I mean, I think half the church is still there. Doesn't even know who it was with. Or what really happened. They only knew that there was an indiscretion. So the pastor stays. I confront him on a couple of occasions as a friend. Because like at first I didn't know all the story. I don't want to know. And it's like, you don't want to know. You're trying to get out of here. You don't want to get involved in this. Well, you know, a few visits and things trying to get this sorted out. Because now the scales are falling off my eyes on this one. Because I'm like, wait a minute. Because more and more made sense. Trust me, I got the full story of all the sickness associated with this type of mentality. I had seen so many things. But this is my awakening in a lot of ways to one thing and one thing only. The power of God is in God's word. It's not in lies or in society. It's not in codependency. And I'm using those words because they're real. It's not in enablement. God's power is in God's word. And people that make these mistakes are dancing around and avoiding his word to suit their own egos. Why it happens, I don't know. Why it's so simple for people to make a huge mistake, I don't know. It just blows my mind. But if you think about it, I mean, I know these people very well. And going back, I wasn't received at all. I was absolutely shocked when they didn't understand, the other people that remained in the church and whatever, that they didn't understand the damage that had been done to my life. You know, and I knew a lot of things that had happened over the years, and I could just see all the damage being done to families. You know, you can claim whatever you want, and I know people have been there when we needed them and all this sort of thing, but it doesn't matter if you keep going off on false teaching and spouting off on the same things over and over again, but more than anything, will not receive criticism, and that's what it has been. And this is a pathology that is not just this particular pastor and his flock alone. This is a pathology that came before him. It came because of him. It came after him. I mean, relating to this, this is a pathology that's already out there, which is people that can't receive criticism. This is something I'm becoming an expert on. I don't know why. Maybe God's training me, but maybe it's helping me study society better. People who will not receive any form of criticism. And it's a pathology that's almost impenetrable. And when they do it, I'm talking about a full pathology. I am not able to give you the other elements of it, but usually I'm noticing when you have this one, you get the rest of stuff automatically anyway, because I don't classify things according to psychology, even though I'm studying psychology. But honestly, this pathology carries with it such an arrogant, destructive force that draws people to itself that it's chilling. Because this charm and this lie people have a brilliance, you know, like if you were to be able to stimulate and wake up parts of your brain, suddenly you have all the information in there. Like even like people that seem like really, really slow and can't figure anything out. You might find that some of these people were once extremely bright and they know all the information, but it literally does not come into play in their life because it's not activated. It's not being used. And therefore, it doesn't interface. It's like the neurotransmitters and burning pathways in your brain. You know, people know that certain kind of work changes your chemical makeup. Like, I mean, when you start concentrating with certain parts of your mind, all kinds of things happen when people change. But this type of person is only willing to, they don't change. They want to bend the world to their will because they have a vision. It's like witchcraft. And a prophet is somebody who can't do that. I mean, I heard a great I won't say sermon, but you know, it was something actually locally, but believe it or not, that I saw you know, on actual Facebook, because I don't look at Facebook, but I'm getting a little stumped here as how what other tools I have at my disposal, because they are vicious out there on Facebook. They really are. So I was watching this video of my friend's church because it caught my eye, and he had a woman speaking at the beginning about being a prophet, you know, and this is something that's been I'm dealing with, you know, here is like I have been a prophet, because there's no way, because I called all this stuff, believe me, I have been, it's just a tip of the iceberg of how my life is, but I was like literally, you guys wouldn't believe the kind of conflicts I had leading up to this. We're talking cataclysm. We're talking epic, huge things. Like, men, your hearts don't get much more broken than when everything you have is on the line and can be taken from you at any moment because of absolute insanity of people. I cannot even begin to tell you, and it's frightening to me. It's frightening to me how intertwined this world network of mental thinking. I mean, I'm just talking about a reality that is Christians know what the truth is. It's like, you know, when you need a doctor, like, and you get x-rays and you need some kind of diagnosis and when something has to be cut off and all this stuff. I am like one of those people that I will go and do that. But long before I head over there, I have had a battle usually like a very consistent and very careful battle with whatever my problem is. I'm just using health as an example. And I have actually seen huge gains in whatever it is from my work. But it doesn't mean that I won't go to the doctor at the end. So the world only deals in everything as if it's going to be a forced hand by this some violent choice or decision or thing that isn't in you. And you have to fall into line with it. This is a instant fix, and there are methods now in place for people to instantly fix anything, including like if you're unhappy. Well, just turn on the TV. If you're mad at everybody, just forget about it. But the thing is, forgiving and forgetting aren't the same thing. I don't forget. I don't plan to forget. I definitely don't call things to mind when there's forgiveness, but when people are actively trying to do harm to me or others, and that's been that for me, it doesn't, I was the last one to defend myself. In other words, I wasn't looking out for me the whole time, and that's what makes me mad. I probably should have, and this is a shift in my consciousness from God. I mean, if you want to talk about it from that point of view, is not that I'm all about me, but there's one thing that I can't give up, and this is my faith. And I guess sometimes I didn't realize what compromise was, because you get to a point where you don't think you're the only one who believes right, but you get to the point where you're just so fed up with the fact that you can't seem to have anybody get on the subjects that matter, that you just sort of like accept all day and all night that you are around all this nonsense, you accept that you're supposed to care about this, and you actually find a way. This is me pretending, and I just look at myself, having lived a life of pretending for everybody, that I really give a you-know-what about the things you're talking about, and I don't. I really don't. If you're not going to stay focused on God or the things of God, which to me has been, like I said, what's God's heart about every subject? What is God's heart about every subject? I can look around the world with my new tool and I can see what God wants me to do. And I think that other people could do it too. And I don't think people are doing it. And that's one of those things where you come up through the ranks of your faith being just as quiet as you could when you started, because you needed God so badly to erase the hell that you'd come from. And then you get better and life is better. And then you're like, okay, well, now I'm starting to get opinions again like I had when I was in the world. What's going to happen to me now? But that's been my sensation with so many things, that when I first was saved, I didn't want anything to do with my writing, my research, or anything that I'd done. I mean, I've intensely researched for many, many years, 20 years anyway, and had, you know, researched my brains out on
these subjects. And I wouldn't even look at it or think about it because it was too traumatic to me. But slowly, it was like God was telling me, you know, everybody's standing there not knowing what to think or say or do about this subject that has come up. And you know a lot about it. And see, I don't retain information like facts. I'm an assessor. I look at everything. Like when I've watched movies or listened to even songs, but movies, everybody's always like, remember the part where this, that, or the other happened? And I will for a short time after I see the movie. But after that, it's gone. I got something out of the movie. You know, that's all I'm looking for is to get something out of it to apply to life. Like life is a big problem, you know? And so at some point, your calling shifts as a Christian. You've now got this life to live. You don't have much time, you know that. And you're here and you have like some ideas that God has given you about the way that he wants you to approach the world and see people. And so now you start looking at the world and trying to approach and see them the way God said. And when you do, what happens to you? Well, if you have the education I do, you really see a hand upon people that isn't God's that is hurting them. And this is the one I've been trying to fight. Now, the other thing the world does, and this is the only worldly, it's only worldly, but it's a powerful force that's in the church. Okay, and I'm calling it out in Christian, in Jesus' name. I'm calling this out and I'm demanding that this demonic force leaves. And that's the one that tells you if there is an evil hand that's upon people that affects their behavior, this voice in our hearts, this liar, tells you that you don't need to do anything about it. That is the biggest lie. And here's where I find myself standing in the Old Testament. I find myself with men. I find myself with warriors of God. I find myself with an awakened heart, like unbelievably close to the Lord, to do war against lies like that. And that makes me part of a small number. And that makes me doubt myself. But I can't. Because I was right. And that's what God tells me. He says, you were right. You can feel okay. You are holding the office that I gave you. You haven't fallen. It's very hard because the accusations is these people claw and stab for air. They just want relief from their hells of fear. They want it and they don't go to the place where it is. And I've got the answer for them and they hate it. These people hate it. They hate that if they talked to me for a couple of hours, that they'd feel a lot better. And if they listened to me and they did the work that I asked them to, that they would feel a lot better and they'd probably get better. It would only take me a couple of hours with these people. But they fear me so badly because I have the power of God on me. And you know what? There's stuff, I hate to say it, there's stuff inside of people that you can carry around. Even as a Christian, I don't care what they're telling you out there. I don't care what they're telling you. It's a lie. Whatever they're telling you, if Christians, they don't think that Christians can carry around garbage. And I don't like to give words to it because we are dealing in a modern time with something that, you know, using the word garbage is a very good word to use. That this garbage is getting hugely in the way and that these people think they're invincible because they treat everybody like garbage whenever they want to and they feel justified about it because they're wronged and they are the righteous. They're on a holy mission. I've been there. I've been there as a Christian, I'm sure, on some level because I don't sit here and try to blame myself. I only say as I learn, I know that I've been... I'm not really trying to hate myself for a while. I'm trying to just change because God's leading me and not because I'm sitting there, you know, obsessing over what I do all day. And other people, you know, whatever their egos are driving them to do, I've had to break away from all that because it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. It's not going to work. Yeah, that car has probably been ruined by having that window open. That's too bad because that was my car for years. It's probably only worth, if it was not smelling inside like that, it's probably only worth about maybe $1,000 at this point, if that. But it does run nicely. So, I mean, it might be worth more. But now that the inside is moldy, unless I treat that and get rid of that, which I can, you know, I mean, we have the tools here to do anything, Jace, just about, and that's a lesson that these morons that I'm talking about, I'm just sorry, I don't know what else to say, I don't have words, God, he knows how angry I am, and it's just been a magical feat of the imagination to not absolutely tear apart everything with the rage that has been inside of me, okay, of all of it, because this has been just, it's like I've been taken out of a game by something. I've been taken out of the game by something that it, what it does is it renders your mind incapable of focusing on what's important. And the problem is these forces, if they get involved in your life, and I'm talking about, lying forces. I trace it all back to the demonic. I cannot help but say it. These demonic forces, they get a hold of people, and they can work quickly, you know. And the funny thing is, they work through all sort of, the demonic. It's called the flesh. I mean, dude, like, I'm just saying, like, if we have a sin nature and there is no sin in the Lord, then all that sin nature, that very thing, never leaves. So you could be caught casting out demons all day, but you're actually dealing with behavior choices that people make. And God calls people accountable for this, which is why it is so frustrating to deal with people that are in error. And, you know, you have to break away from some of them, but sometimes there's no escape and you have to stick with it. And those are the situations, like, I'm using this as a model to look at my country that I live in. Because the country we live in really suffers from the same pathology that this pastor did. I've looked at this pathology because I know way more. I mean, that's just the surface story. But when you're analyzing and saying, well, this is an unstoppable seemingly force, the way that these people's minds work, you want to interrupt it, you know. But like with the Pharisees, I mean, the sense is there are these people that will never come back. But how could they be declaring in this case the name of Jesus and weeping before him? But I could say people do anything, like the speaking in tongues. I can give another example. No one's listening to me, right? Same pastor. I've always wanted to speak in tongues, and I actually, I'm pretty sure that now I actually do speak in tongues. Like, I properly speak in tongues, okay? Like, it's not made up. But I don't do it in front of people very often. I mean, I don't do it out loud in front of people, but I pray in tongues, you know, and that's helped me a lot of ways. It gets the devil off my tail. So, but people are, like, speaking in tongues who aren't probably getting much from God out of it, because they do repetitive, like, shrieking and screaming and yelling and stuff. And I hate to use the word stuff all the time, but it's a good word. It helps. And it makes things more funny to me. It eases up the tension. I prefer to just dumb things down a little bit. But the one person I'm talking about, this pastor, I'm sorry, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, because, like, who the heck knows who I'm talking about? This is what I'm saying. And if they did, like, what am I supposed to say? I know a pastor, I'll just say, who spoke in tongues like this. And I was like, I've seen everything. Like, I mean, I've watched television ministries and I'm like, this looks a little crazy. But a lot of times it actually does work. Like the stuff that went down in Florida with Rodney Brown. Like, when you've seen that, I don't know what of it is garbage and what of it's real, if it's all good or it's all bad.
But I do know that it had a powerful effect on the people where it was good. And that's why I get so confused. I see things that don't make sense to me. And it's like, to me, it looks like garbage. And I am not supposed to say much because it's not my faith and it's not my business. Whatever their belief, like God could be telling them something and I'm getting in their way. But that's my old way. But now I'm realizing a few things. I'm able to detect it better. But anyway, with the speaking in tongues, I'm about to wrap this up. This pastor, on the way up, before he was a pastor, and then when he was a pastor for a long time, would go off and speak in tongues and then always say the exact, like, you know, let's say their words, like 10 nonsense words. And one of the words was out really loud, was basura. Basura. I can't say the rest of it because I don't want to give it all away. But it was like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, basura. You know, and it was like saying it really fancy, like these were like Roman words and like this is some kind of fancy thing. And just weeping and just going around like all puffed up, yelling this stuff and like just going, like sometimes just, and you know, it's like drill sergeant. And you'd see people, sometimes people start to cry or something and you're like, okay. Now the power of God must have been working. I really do think so, but I don't understand it. But this word basura that he was saying was garbage, the word garbage in Spanish. And it was so clear. I mean, I heard this for years and I just thought, okay, you know, because you hear that like people from other countries, you know, people who speak other languages come along and hear people speaking in tongues and it's like, it's their language. And so I was just thankful, well, that's interesting. Well, eventually he took it out of his like repetitive thing that he says and he no longer says basura, but he says all the rest of it. Like, might be just like, and then just starts weeping and like, you know, like just yelling in your ear, whatever. But then this is the same person who took up the residence and then just went back to work just like everything was normal because there's no discipline at all. And I feel like I'm in the apocalypse now and I've been going up the river to take out Kurtz. But the thing is, this guy is sort of like just a little guy. I always, when you get involved with people, sometimes they're a big part of your life. But to me, this is just a little station house on my way up the river where I've encountered the first of like the disciples of Kurtz. And I'm heading up and I'm going to take him out. And he knows I'm coming for him and he wants to talk to me. That's the scenario. And I'm taking this thing down, whatever it is. See, we don't get to take out the devil. We know that. God takes the devil out. But who said there ain't something else out there that we can absolutely destroy with the power of God? And that's what I signed up for. I am going to absolutely take out something that's in this world that's hurting people, and it's going to be gone. That's all I have to say, because the enemy builds tools out of his little network. And I can't go much more into that, but this is something that is God's domain at this time. Like, we don't need to discuss these things. This is not my preoccupation. I don't live thinking about some new supernatural beast that I'm going to take out. Because the second I do, the supernatural has a little bit of an opening into my life. That's not what I don't think about it that way. I mean, I do, because I know. But at the same time, living life is living the Great Commission. And I catch all kinds of flack from non-believers to rattle my cage. And some of the believers must recognize the prophet position in my life, but they don't understand the jawbone I've got, because I am not the guy that goes in and does the work. Okay? I'm not the guy that goes in and does the work and sits back down and it's like you never hear from him again. I don't care. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. I'm saying I have a relentless attack that I have to see, literally see progress happening, so I know how to keep fighting. And that's God's mission on my heart. And I can do it all by myself. Although I'm trying to network with people, the mission itself, the mission I'm talking about, like taking out Kurtz, this is my lone mission. I want support along the way. I want to help other people. I believe in some huge thing that's taking place in the world. I don't want to give too much voice to it because, again, you have to be careful of what the enemy wants to do with our prophecies. He wants to be able to make them not true. And he can do that. Do you know he can take the prophecies that you make as a prophet, even though you're right, he can take them and make them untrue enough to bring you to a place where your faith is actually wounded because you stepped out with the confidence of a prophet, but you let yourself speak the prophecy in a way that was wrong, and the enemy took it and he trampled it underfoot. And I'm not willing to do that. So I keep my mouth closed. I'm a good soldier of the Lord, and I just keep on marching and I keep on fighting. But I'll tell you something, when I get some air here and I look around, I have a feeling I'm going to see something that I want to see, and it's going to engage my soul, and I am going to be like an absolute wrecking ball on something that's been hurting people. I'll just let the people know that know about this stuff. The power of the Lord is upon me right this minute. I mean, if that's something people want to know, you can know it. It falls on me, but I don't claim any ownership. I'm not worthy of the big picture yet. It's the only way to get the glory off, whatever that is. I gotta be real. I've gotta be real. So tomorrow's another day. Today's gonna be Wednesday. It is Wednesday already. I'm up pre-dawn. I need the sleep. I really do. I have a lot of work to do. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness can't. If I'm living inside of a lie that makes me a liar, I have to speak the truth to somebody. And I got a listener too on my last one. But even God hears me now, and that's enough. Just can't live this lie. The people that I'm involved with, they're failing. A lot of them, they're failing. And I really want to take the lead. Because I can really, really make a difference quickly in a lot of people's lives. But it starts back at the core. So I want to pray right now, and then I'm going to head back to sleep for a while. I'm praying that at people's core, in their heart, that they're filled with light, the light of God, that He can shine on the doubts and the questions that they have. Because our doubt is a seed space for fear, which is a seed space for lies, which is a seed space for evil. Now, I want to give you a hint. The world is operating on a financial principle. Everything you see, the networks, the phone you hold in your hand, all of it is constructed to make money for people. Everything. It's all constructed to make money for people, one at a time. You know, that's how it all gets chipped into the system. And it needs to work together. And it's finding more and more that if it doesn't cooperate with itself, it's falling apart. And the people who have the money, the only way they get to keep the money is if money stays real. Now, what drives us is money. And God needs to break the chain off you about money. Open your eyes to how it's operating in your life. And I know that that doesn't seem real to a lot of people. But you have no idea when you start partaking in the system and eating from it and enjoying it. You have no idea what you're doing to your own witness and your own ability to hear from God. And that's why as a prophet, or whatever. I mean, I'm out in the wilderness. I really am. I'm away from it all. I don't watch TV. I spend, you know, 8 hours a day, most days I work, just with audiobooks or
thinking or listening to Christian music, and I study all the time. So these subjects are on my mind all day, and I get to look at them and then come back to the world and compare. And I've been doing this for years now. So my witness is really one where I'm not saying I have the whole truth, because trust me, they need to keep falling off me too, these lies. And I'm actually pursuing money because I have to have it. But trust me on this one. We need to re-engage with God in a better way. And we need to skip over this system. And that's what I want to work on with people. Please trust me that I'm not trying to have anything that God doesn't want. I'm just saying, I don't know how else to put words to things when I see such danger. We're the men of God. We're the women of God. We're the fighters. We're the Joshua and Caleb army. We really are. And we see grasshoppers. And that's all I see, is nothing but a bunch of little wimpy grasshoppers. Just like, you know, it's all the metaphors out there serve God in the end. Did you know that the enemy tried to take language and do anything with it? He can't. He can't, because it's God's voice that gave order to this whole universe. So every time he tries to take something built on God's premises, universe, he can't do it. He cannot take it. And that's what I've learned. And so it's very easy going when it all comes down to it, when you fall back on God's position. He's not here. He's not. He's safe where he is. And so are we. We're safe from it. And that's what you need to know, is you are really safe deep inside from all of it, even the pain that people inflict on you. In the end, you're safe. And that means now you're safe, because it's only in the end what matters is what happens in the end. Even that love for somebody, I think I talked about this last night as I go, even that love for somebody that you have, all that person has to do is throw the whole thing back at you, forget all the good of it, destroy it, throw it at your feet, and all it could be is a bitter pill for you forever, most likely, unless you are supernaturally inspired. People can take all that we see and know, and they can absolutely render it completely useless. Everything you've ever worked for and cared about can be gone and destroyed right before your eyes. And that's why we have to always remain with our hope in God, and that we're only hanging things upon his mantle. Well, I love everybody, and I'm sorry if my work has caused anybody any problems, or if there's anything unwholesome that's come out of it. As I go, I've kind of tried to assure people I am relatively trustworthy, and I'll be more refined as I go. But I'm fighting hard, people. I don't know what it is, and we all know this as saints, but if I close my eyes, I see this. I see this football field type thing. And I it's not even me, but it's me. It's you too, I think. I don't know. But I try to move in this horde of shapes, violent things, just piles on me. They just attack. And I know that people could say, well, maybe you have a weak spiritual armor. I'd say, well, I don't know. Something about love. You have to break down some walls and barriers to love people. And you open yourself up to attack as you hold the door open for them. Because the truth of the Bible is homosexuals and liars and adulterers and people of that nature are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You understand? And so those are defined terms by God. Those are eternally a liar. We all lie, dude. We all have the sin nature. But liars will not enter heaven. The fearful will not enter heaven. Fearful. And then homosexuality is enough to keep people out of heaven when engaged without the breaking away of the mind to understand the concept. God couldn't speak against something like that and have... See, I can't go as bold as I kind of want to, but I'm saying God showed me one day in a church when I was literally thinking about something like by homosexuals. This is a long time ago at the beginning when my faith was really a lot, like, very much God was, like, supernaturally, like, sticking stuff in front of me. He always does now, but I don't know. He showed me one time that I might want to judge, like, homosexuals, lesbians, and gay men. But, like, with the lesbians, it's not quite the same thing. I'm only saying the sodomy is really a major offense to God. And there are things that lesbians do that I know is just probably is, you know, I know that it's not scales, but he has said certain things. Like, it's because of the what I realized was all you need to do is realize the entire truth about God. And you might spend the rest of your life trying to get out of your sin. And that's why we can't judge people. Like, if there was a lesbian couple and the lesbian received God and his message, but could not, still was having trouble wrapping their minds around all of it and was fighting to get out, you don't know what Jesus would render as a decision on that person's life. And this is why when I talk about and think about, like, gay marriage and all these things, I live in a country where we actually guaranteed people freedom, Christians did. So, like, you had slavery in the country, and you want to be, like, stressing on gay marriage. It's not that I kind of get it, and I'm like, because I know God's working to stop it too, but I kind of get, but I can't, that's not my fight, and there's a reason for that. Like, I pray against these things because I understand what it does as setting a precedent and a viewpoint for people and a channel for them to walk into as young people. And it's just available to them in this country. But at the same time, if God is as powerful as we all know he is, then what are we worried about what that particular law of freedom is? If it compelled me to have to get gay married or whatever, that would be wrong. But if it just opens up the possibility that someone can make yet another decision, because there's already thousands of them, if somebody can make yet another decision that is, you know, potentially very much unholy or not wanted by the Lord, I mean, I don't know what to say, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but how he feels about it, then it's just another thing. But to lay down all of your tools of warfare for the good to go and take on this cause, I don't know. As a soldier of Christ, different people are called to different places. He's the mastermind. But I'm just saying, I've seen a battlefront that is where the enemy is. And if you want to win, you got to go in that direction. Because that's how it is in war. You could go and you could chase down something, but it might be a big diversion, okay? If you want to go after it, you need to go after the headquarters. And the only way to go after the headquarters, you can't be distracted by this other stuff. You actually have to live a powerfully joyful life. You know, and this is something, happiness isn't really worth much. Joy is worth everything. And joy is a effervescence, it's uncappable. This is something that's an energy force. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not kidding. The jawbone and all of that is based on the joy of the Lord. I might be really, really upset and really, really filled with just, like, you know, those emotions that God gives you of, like, I got to go somewhere with this. And prayer, you know, prayer is the last place you get to go sometimes when all you want to do, it's the first place I wind up, but it's not what my heart feels, this, like, overwhelming, like, you know, shout, I think is the thing, you know, and instead, you get to have prayer. Okay, well, the nonsense word basura comes out when you waste what God gives you, I think, sometimes. So it's all a formula, like untangling the web and the net. You have to actually wake up. You have to get an awakening. You have to renew your mind. And you have to account for all the details in your life. The various stages of your even your waking up and getting dressed and going through your day, you kind of have to begin to account for the fact that you will probably keep leading yourself to the same places through your habits and rituals, whatever it's considered, you know, like how you want to look at it. And you just have to keep analyzing to make sure that there isn't something better God could be doing with that time each time. And that's how you get a better life and we all transform. So that coffee time in the morning, just get the Bluetooth speaker and put on music. Heck, put on one of my playlists that I'm going to put out, or however I'd like to be able to stream something or whatever. But put on that while you do your same thing. If you're somebody, you know, like you're planning to do, you do recordings and put them on Twitter every day, you know, to help people. Don't do what the Lord leads you to. But sometimes you might find that some worship beforehand, like if you like way beforehand, you don't want to derail your process. But adding the worship in might add something else because God can speak to you in that time. And I've thought about it, and I was like, a lot of us are trying to do something out here, and we don't have church exactly, but if you think about church format, usually there's praise and worship at the beginning before the message. So I just started thinking, well, that's kind of automatic. Maybe a lot of pastors, if you think about it, because I'm not a pastor, they all go through the worship together. They know they're about to deliver a message. That must be a time when there's a lot going through their head, and there's a lot of things changing. And that's the way it has been for me. So I encourage that for others. And these sort of little things might help with that cause I'm talking about, because we have a field to cross and we're getting swarmed by these shapes. And there's something on the other end that it's like a boss fight and we're headed there. There are a bunch of us headed there. And this isn't like anything like what people think. This is something way, 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 way better and more personal to us. Because we know that there was something, that a lie that came into our land. And I don't know, I'm with a lot of people. I detect an ability for a people. I'm not talking about borders or nations or anything. I'm talking about a people to come together in the name of God and destroy something that has been harming their people. And this is what I want to do. So pray for me and I'll pray for you. So it's all doable. Everybody needs to cheer up. Get your head on. Remember, I don't want to talk about this election. I don't want to think about this next election. I want to see healing. We've got to solve it. We need the snowflakes on our side. Can you imagine? Think about Paul when he was converted, what kind of powerful force he was. Imagine some of these snowflakes getting Jesus. Like, they could weep in the church all they want for days and days and days if they want to, until they start to get some healing and people can love on them and pray for them and say, I understand, and hug them. Dude, the work is there, but you got to stop bashing on them. And I'm not going to point any fingers, but it's still going on and people are still supporting it and then turning around and trying to be a good saint. And you can't do it. You cannot do it. And God taught me. He taught me. And of course, I should have known better, but He's going to have to teach a whole bunch of other people quick, because these people are needed in the fight, because your brain, your talents, and your spiritual ability, like God has anointed a bunch of people, but they're still messed up on the last election and they're still picking on the like refuse. I'm calling it the refuse because it's what's getting thrown away by everybody. And we need to scoop these people up and help them, dude. So that's my prayer for us, is that we get this on right now. So I praise Jesus today. I hope you guys all have a good day. Goodbye.